I ask you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. This morning we're in the last book of the Bible, and this evening in the first book of the Bible, chapter 17. I think as a main thought for tonight, what I want us to hold in our hearts and our minds is to say, when we can't, God will. And there's so many things in our lives that God has promised that He will do in us, through us, for us, with us. And sometimes we get to the place where that we think it all depends on us. And when that happens, we tend to rely less upon the Lord and try to do it our own selves. And I'm finding out I can't do anything on my own. Try as I may, there's absolutely nothing that I can do without the help of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. But the relationship that He has called us into with Him is one where that there is an interaction. And that's when life comes to a place where that we can find joy and we can find peace. We can find understanding. We can find direction in our lives when we are indeed walking and talking with Christ, the Supernal One. I find myself sometimes being guilty of singing a song and not giving it a second thought. You don't have to answer that. I do. I find myself, my mind just kind of floating off somewhere. And then after the song is over, I'm thinking, wow, that says something in my heart, and I miss most of it. I'm about to get off subject. Let me just come back. Genesis chapter 17. I want to read verses 1 through 7. Do you believe that God has made promises for you? There are promises that are contained in God's Word, and though they were given primarily to certain individuals, do you believe that they also apply to you? If we are children of God, if we're children of faith, if we walk in the faith that God has given to us, which He gave to us that measure of faith at regeneration, if we're walking in that faith, then I say to you tonight that every promise that is in the Word of God is yours. And I hope that we can embrace that. I hope that we can take hold of that and understand that when we read the Word of God, there is a personal application, a personal meaning for us. And I say all that because God spoke to Abram in such a way in this 17th chapter that He told him exactly what He was going to do in him, through him, and for him. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, will you hear the Word of God and those words that He just spoke to Abram? Do you believe tonight that God doesn't change? Do you believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe He's the same today as He was when He spoke those words to Abram? If so, then we can say today that He is the Almighty God. Almighty. Almighty. I want that word to just soak into us tonight. He is the Almighty God. If we don't embrace that, if we don't come to a point where that means something to us, more than just words that we read out of a book, if we understand that's God speaking to me tonight, saying to Steve Taylor, I am the Almighty God. And you could put your name in that same sentence. He's speaking those words to you tonight. I am the Almighty God. He didn't say, I was the Almighty God when I created this universe. He's not saying, I will be the Almighty God when this world ends. He's saying, I am the Almighty God. And I know that I repeat myself a lot, but the Bible does too, so I feel like I'm pretty good company with that. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and Moses said, "Who am I to say sent me to bring you out, to bring the people out of Egypt?" God said, "You tell them, I am that I am. That I am. Not just a I am or an I am. I am that I am." And Moses understood who he was talking about. He was saying, "I am that same I am that spoke to Abram in saying that I'm going to give them the land. I'm the same I am that spoke to Abram and said that my people, your heritage, your the generations to follow you, they're going to be in bondage for 400 years. And after 400 years, the great I am is going to bring them out and take them to the land that I'm showing you, Abram. I'm telling you the promise, and they're going to realize it in my time." He said to Abram, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now that sounds like some mighty tall orders, doesn't it? Can any of us tonight say that applies to us? I hope every one of us can. When I share with you what I see in those words that are spoken by God, I hope every one of us can say, "That's where I want to be. I want to be walking before God, and I want to be perfect." Oh, I know, your mind may go the same place that my mind already is, and that is, well, we can't be perfect as long as we're in the flesh. How many times I've said that, and it's always after I've messed up. I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? That word perfect does not mean what we associate it with. As we hear that word, when God says, "You're to be perfect before me, you're to walk before me, and you're to be perfect." First of all, the word "walk before me" was one original Hebrew word, and it means walk in my presence. I know I've shared this with you, but that's the only example I can think of is when my friend David and I would sit on the front pew, and his daddy would thump us on the head when we acted up in church. And that's the image that the mind takes me to when God says, "Walk in front of me." But that's not what he's saying. He's not saying, "You walk in front of me so I can see every mistake you make." He's not saying, "Walk in front of me so that I can see if you stumble." He's not saying, "Walk in front of me if I see that you've made a wrong decision or done this." You walk in my presence, in the presence of the Almighty God. Now, isn't that a privilege? Isn't that a blessing? That God would say, "I'm going to walk with you." That's what he was saying to Abram. He wasn't saying, you just make sure that you do everything right and make sure that you don't make any mistakes. You be perfect. That word perfect, as we all know, and I'm again repeating, this may be a repeat sermon, I don't know, but I needed it tonight, and maybe you do too. When he says be perfect, he's saying be mature. Be mature. And do you know being mature sometimes means admitting that I don't know what to do? You know that being mature sometimes means saying, "I need help." Being mature sometimes means saying, "I don't have this. I can't do this. I can't handle this." And I want to tell you, if you've never said that to God, I want to say something. You're not mature. If I've never said that to God, I'm not mature. The immature says, "I can do this on my own." The immature says, "I've got this." The immature says, "I don't need your help." The mature says, "Lord, I need you. I need you. I can't even, as the song says, I can't even walk if you don't hold my hand. I can't do anything without you." And that's not just an impression of my mind. That's the words of Jesus Christ when he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So therefore, to be perfect, to be mature, is to look back and say, "Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't handle this on my own. I'm about to have a breakdown. I'm about to lose it. I'm about to crash. I don't know what's about to take place. Lord, I need you." This is what he's saying to Abram. Just walk with me. And don't be afraid to say, I need help. Can I say to every one of you tonight, I need help. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm not ashamed to say, I'm not in control. I'm not ashamed to say, I don't have it all together. I'm not ashamed to say that I can't handle everything that this life throws at me. But I am so thankful to say that I am walking in the presence of one who is the Almighty God. And there's nothing that comes at me that my God can't handle. There was a song that was popular, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. Josh Turner sang it. And the title of it was Me and God. Well, when it came out, I said, Josh, you got this thing all wrong. It's not me and God, it's God and me. God first. Me can't handle anything. I know that's not proper. I'm all over improper English today. Me, I cannot handle anything. The least amount of pressure in this life would be more than I could handle. Do we understand tonight that when any pressure comes upon us, when we feel the weight of the world that's upon our shoulders, it did not reach us, it did not touch us until after God filtered it by His grace and His mercy? God knows just exactly how much pressure to allow to be put upon us. And sometimes we think, I like to stand still, but I'm coming to here. Sometimes we think we're right on the edge and we're about to fall off. But can I tell you, God's got you right there? Can I tell you that you're not going to go anywhere? You're not going to fall out of His grace. You're not going to fall out of His mercy. You're not going to fall out of His care. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to turn and walk away from you. He's going to be right there. And so He said to Abram, now you walk with me. I'm walking with you. Now you walk with me. You might say, well, isn't that the same thing? Ask yourself that question. How many days do we go through a day and maybe way on up in the day before we realize, oh, wait a minute. And don't tell me I'm the only one that does this. I forgot to pray this morning. I got so busy. My schedule was such that I got up and I got right to it and I didn't. We sing that song. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you? I have days. It's on up in the day and I realize, Lord, I'm sorry. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then pray for me. But God said to Abram when he was 99 years old, walk before me. Walk with me. 99 years old. Now, at 99 years old, of course, there's not very many people that live to be that age nowadays. The group that I'm singing with now, our baritone singer, his mother, this month will be 98. She's almost there. She still drives. But not many people reach that age. But 99, at a time when you think it's time to sit down and relax, take it easy, see what the rest of life has for us, God says, I'm just beginning with you, Abram. I've just now had you to the place where that I'm going to show you my power working in you and through you. So just walk with me. Walk with me. Ask questions. It's okay. It's okay to ask questions of God. I hope so, because I don't have all the answers, do you? I need answers. And He is the answer. So it's okay to talk to Him. It's also okay to ask Him questions. He says, that's what you're to do. You're just to walk with me and you're to lean upon me. You're to trust me. You're to depend upon me. That's the only thing in this 7 verses of Scripture that God told Abram to do. The rest of it is filled up with the I wills. God said, verse 2, I will make my covenant between me and thee. He didn't even ask Abraham, which is about to be changed, didn't even ask Abram to make a promise. You think he probably already knew that Abram wouldn't be able to keep it anyway? But he says, but this is my promise to you. Again, this is to us tonight. Do we understand God made a covenant with us? And he made it with us before we were ever born. He made it with us before he ever said, let there be light. There was a covenant that was made, a promise that was made, that God said, I am going by my covenant to bring my people into my family. And he gave us to Christ, and Christ redeemed us. He says to Abram, I'm going to make my covenant between me and thee. See, there's God and Abram. Not me and God, but it's God and Abram. Between me and thee. And I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. And I don't hear Abram saying, but wait a minute, God. I'm 99. Have you forgotten that? You see, again, it's not based on our ability. It's not based upon our capability. It's not based upon our ability to figure things out and to make our way through life. God says, I'm going to do this for you. This is my promise to you. I'm going to multiply you. Now, I don't expect that God's going to multiply Judy and myself in the same way that he multiplied Abraham and Sarah. But I do believe that there are multiplications that God still brings about in our lives. Multiplications of blessings, multiplications of direction, multiplication of him speaking to us, multiplications of him showing himself to us, multiple times of God dealing with us. I believe with all of my heart that every one of us, when we walk with him, when we trust him, when we depend upon him, that same promise applies to us. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply blessings. In fact, the psalmist says, daily God heaps his benefits upon us. Isn't that a multiplication? More than one is a multiplication. Verse 2 is 2 times 1, right? This is my covenant. I'm going to multiply. And when he said that to Abram, Abram's faith was expressed in a most sincere, simple way. He fell on his face before God. He fell on his face before God. Verse 3. This is my promise to you. This is my personal promise to you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to increase you. The prayer of Jabez, and I hope to preach on that sometime. The prayer of Jabez, increase my borders. Increase the opportunities for me to honor you, Lord. Increase the opportunities, the borders that I have, that I might be able to serve you and to serve your people. I'm going to multiply you, God says. Abraham fell on his face, but I still don't read that he said a word. But God kept talking to him. I had this conversation just this week. The art of listening is a fast-growing thing of the past. Have y'all noticed that? Have you noticed that nobody really wants to listen to you? Are you guilty of it? I have to admit, there's times somebody's talking to me and my mind's over here or my mind's over there. There's times when people are introduced to me and I've forgotten their name by the time it's spoken because I'm wondering, what am I going to say to them? Well, it might be just say, well, hello, whatever your name is, it's nice to meet you. The art of listening is gone. It's gone. We all have what we want to be heard. We all have what we want others to know and what we don't want them to know. But here, Abram fell on his face and he's still listening. He's still just soaking it in. And God continued to talk with him saying, as for me, God said, behold, stop, look, and listen. My covenant is with you. I know the King James says with thee. My covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. I don't hear Abraham say, but wait a minute, I'm 99. I'm past the age of childbearing. Sarah is 90. I don't think that she's going to have... It's not a matter of what you think, Abram. Listen to what God is saying. And that wasn't what Abram said. That's what Steve would say. My covenant is with you. Oh, listen. If we could just pick up the Word of God and just start reading it. If nothing else, just for face value. What is it literally? What does it say? But then as you begin to read and you continue to read, you find that God is beginning to speak to you. God is beginning to speak to your heart. Suddenly, you'll read something and you'll say, oh, I was just wondering about that. Do you think that's coincidence? That God would speak to your heart about something that you were wondering about. I can't tell you how many Sundays when I'm standing back there at the door, and I realize that people that down here in the front, you may realize and think that it's just going too slow, but how many times I'm standing there at the door and somebody comes by and they say, I was wondering about that very thing. There's no magical response to me in that. I didn't know what anybody else was wondering about or worrying about or concerned about, but God does, and God channels His action, and God channels His wisdom, and God channels His power, and He speaks, and His Word, it goes forward, and it does not return to Him void. It accomplishes that for which that it is intended. I don't know what anybody else is concerned about or worried about or thinking about, but God does, and so many times, it is a very humbling thing when somebody says, I was wondering about that very thing. We were talking about that very thing just this week. My covenant is with you. My promise is with you. And no more will your name be called Abram. Your name is going to be Abraham. Abraham. And the reason that that name Abraham, when you look at it and you put Abram and Abraham together, there's two letters difference between it. Two letters difference, H-A. And it's right in the middle. Abraham. That is the word for God. God is in Abram. God is working through Abram. God is working in his life in such a way to commit and to bring forth the promises that he has given. When I read that, I went over to the New Testament. I'm going to close with this. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of this glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. In other words, the same promise that was given to the Jews, it is also to us. And what was that mystery? What was the promise that was given? What was the covenant that was given through Abraham? When he said back in chapter 12, you're going to be a blessing all the families of the earth. The blessing is Christ in you. Christ in you. You don't have to go out on some high mountain somewhere and go through a man to try to find Jesus. You don't have to go out in the wilderness. In fact, Jesus said, if they say to you, go here or go there, you don't go with them. You don't follow them. Why? Where is Christ? He's in you. Abraham. God in Abram. Christ in you. which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to make a flat out statement. In fact, John made it in 1 John chapter 5. Let me just turn and read that. I didn't intend to go there, but let me just read it if I can find it very quickly. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. That's the record. That's the promise. That's the covenant. The covenant of eternal life. And this life is in His Son. So if the life is in His Son, and the Son is in you, then what do you have? Eternal life. Because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of what I tried to speak about this morning is based upon Christ in you. Then he goes on to say in verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life. Now how did we get Him? Was it anything that we did to accomplish it? Was it any decision that we made? Was it any magic words that we spoke? Was it being in the right place at the right time? No, it was the covenant that was made that God was going to place His Son in you to have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So Paul said, the hope of glory is Christ in you. Christ in you. There is no hope of heaven outside of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that anybody can do that would work their way into heaven, or to talk their way into heaven, or to persuade God into allowing them into heaven. There's only one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in verse 28 of Colossians. I know I'm bouncing back and forth. Colossians 1:28. He says, whom we preach. If I don't preach to you Jesus Christ, then you escort me out the door. You don't need me if I don't preach Jesus Christ to you. There is no other message save Jesus Christ. And the grace of God that's been bestowed upon us through Christ and the work of Christ on the cross. He said, this is what we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man of what? Perfect in Christ. Our maturity is not based on ourselves. It's based on Christ in us. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take that to a 1,000 times step farther. That is, when we walk into heaven, however we enter, whether it's walk or float or however it is that we get there, when we enter into heaven, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be perfect in the absolute sense of the word. We're going to be perfect. We're going to be without blemish. We're going to be without spot. Because all of those things that cause us blemish and spots, they're going to be left outside the gate. But inside the gate, there's perfection. But we're to strive for that. And it begins with being mature. There's so many things that's coming into my mind now. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. Chapter 4. When he's talking about the gifts of the ministry, and he lists them all, and he comes down to pastor and teacher, and then he goes on and he lists all those things, knows all those things, all those things, and he comes down and it says, that we may grow up. That we may grow up. God did not call us to be immature Christians. He called us to grow up in Jesus Christ. And so he says, I present every man perfect or mature, grown up in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor. He says, I'm not there yet. I understand something. When I'm preaching something up here, it's not because I've perfected it. I'm striving in that same direction, striving to accomplish the same things by the help of Almighty God. He says, I'm also laboring for this. Striving, but it's according to His working. If you underline in your Bible, those are good words to underline. It's according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Abram, this is what you're going to do. You're going to walk before me, and you're going to be perfect. But it's going to be me doing it through you. If you think, if I think, that I can make myself mature in the sight of God, I am badly mistaken. I can't do it. But Christ can. So we don't use a crutch of, I can't do that, when we understand that Christ can and He does. I'm walking in the presence of the Almighty God, and I'm striving to be mature as I walk with Him. Heavenly Father,